I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. My name is Bill Radford. I'm here with my longtime great friend, John Drennan. And we have been following the Lions since the beginning of the preseason in hopes that this would be the year that they would go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, that didn't happen, but we're still hopeful that it'll happen soon. So if you'd like to check out any of our podcasts, you can go to our website, theshlpodcast.com. SHL stands for Secondhand Lions. And some news that's encouraging this week is Taylor Decker has decided to return. And as we were talking beforehand, John, you brought up that you don't think he would do that if he wasn't sure that he could still play the position and play it well. So I'm hopeful that that's the case. It sure would be good to have him back at full strength. And I also noticed that Brad Holmes is negotiating extensions with some very important players, among whom are Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Brian Branch, and one other one that I can't think of right at the moment. Hold on, let me get it.
Campbell.
Yeah, Jack Campbell. All of them very important to the Lions' future success. And I also saw that Jahmyr Gibbs, when compared to Saquon Barkley since 2024, has more yards from scrimmage and more touchdowns. So he is considered a very hot commodity, expected to be highly paid, maybe breaking the bank with the highest running back contract in the league, which of course causes concern as to how the Lions are going to sign all these good players.
Yeah, for sure. It's a double-edged sword. You bring in studs. I mean, the reason they're being extended, Bill, is I believe the rookie contracts last 4 years. So those guys all came in 4 years ago. Now they're ready for their next contracts. And the idea of the rookie contracts, I believe, is to, you know, they're not paying that much in the first year for players and that first contract, but a player can really establish themselves. Well, all four of those guys have big time established themselves, and they all got to be rewarded for it. So that will be a challenge for the Lions going forward. Hey, you opened by saying we've been following the Lions since, and then before you kept going, what immediately popped into my head was the beginning of time. But what you said was since the summer. So if you're a new listener, we've been following them since the late 50s and 60s, but we've been doing this podcast to make the journey with them to the Super Bowl. We started that in the week before the Hall of Fame game.
That's right. And that's what I was referring to. I can remember Alex Karras and Wayne Walker and Dick LeBeau and Lem Barney and Nick Petrosani was a running back. And then Steve Owens became the first one to rush for 1,000 yards. I remember sitting by the radio and writing down every time Steve Owens carried the ball, I would write down how many yards he got. And it's been a long time.
Yeah, and part of, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have never heard of Steve Owens or Billy Sims or Mel Farr. These are guys to go maybe to YouTube and look at some of their highlights. Those guys are all stud running backs. And both Owens and Billy Sims got bad injuries that basically took them out of the game. But those guys were electric.
I ran across something in one of the football sites this week. I saw a recap of the Lions, I think it was 1971, playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys. I think I sent that to you.
5-0, right?
They lost 5-0. That's right. Dallas kicked a field goal early and then got a safety in the fourth quarter, which basically kept the Lions from being able to tie the game.
Was that 91?
71.
71. Okay, because they played the Cowboys in the early 90s in a
Yeah, kicked
game
their
that.
butt 34-6.
Wait, the Lions did?
Yeah, that was the year they were 12-4, and
Okay.
they crushed the Cowboys at home and then went to Washington and got spanked.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking of the year that they really got screwed against the Cowboys with the phantom touchdown
Right.
callback.
Stafford was a quarterback then. Anyway, this 5-0 game, Greg Landry was the quarterback. He was very young. I don't know if he was a rookie, but he was very young, and they finally took him out. And I can remember my whole family watching the game. We were all sitting there woefully watching the Lions, completely inept on offense. They put in Bill Munson, and he threw about a 60-yard pass to Mel Farr, who's a running back. And he caught the ball, I'm going to guess, about the 20, 25-yard line. And all of a sudden, we thought we had a chance to win. And if not for that safety, they'd at least had a field goal. They couldn't do anything after that. But 5-0, what a way to lose.
So what happened after the long pass? No touchdown?
No touchdown. I don't even think they got a first down after that.
Well, they've sure lost some over the years that, during this year, you and I had our segments, same old Lions or Lions got screwed. There's so many
Right.
games that fall in those two buckets. So, but hey, this last season ended disappointing, but I think that has put a bee in everybody's pants around the Lions. And I'm very excited. They just finalized the coaching staff this week, Bill. And I continue, as you do, we keep hearing about how high people are on Petsing, the offensive coordinator. You commented to me earlier, Ben Johnson just said he's a great fit for Detroit. He's good friends with Petsing, and he's good friends with Dan Campbell, so he wouldn't just say those things. And Mike Kafka has been named as the pass coordinator. So, and I think I said it last week, Bill, that Petsing said we really have four offensive coordinators: myself, Kafka, who was OC at the Giants, Dan Campbell, who's called plays for a couple of years, and Jared Goff. And again, I love that he referenced Jared Goff as an offensive coordinator on the field. So, but the coaching staff looks good, and I know they're all excited in Allen Park about their staff.
Yeah, it's exciting to be a sports fan in Michigan these days. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since the Tigers, the Red Wings, the Pistons, and the Lions were all good. But that's the case now, and the Wolverines.
In basketball and new enthusiasm in football, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, I recently saw the Pistons beat the New York Knicks handily. I think we mentioned that last week. And then the other night, I saw them lose to the San Antonio Spurs, which has a really strong roster. They're number two in the East, record-wise. So,
And
hey.
Detroit's in both of those games are still without two very important players.
Right.
Duren and Stewart
Right.
suspended for their earlier misdemeanors.
Well, Bill, you mentioned the news of Taylor Decker announcing he's coming back, and you're right. My thoughts on that is he must feel like his body can handle it. This will be his 11th season, and He's talked about wanting to be with family and not having a destroyed body the rest of his life and so on. But he must really feel that he's healing, he's ready, he can do it another year. And to me, that's all good news. Even a veteran, Taylor Decker, will be solid at left tackle if he's not dealing with injuries all the time.
And he also has to believe they have a chance to win.
And that these players want to play in Super Bowls, so I'm sure
Right.
that's a big part of it.
I can remember back when Barry Sanders decided to retire, and essentially he didn't think they could win. It wasn't that he lost the ability, for sure. He just couldn't take coming back for another year of losing. And so I'm sure Taylor Decker has no need for the money. I mean, maybe he does, but he just seems like a guy that would have been smart with it. So being paid as well as he has been for the last 10 years, there's got to be a different motivation than money for him to come back.
And Bill, I've wondered if Calvin Johnson, same thing, if he'd have seen a potential Super Bowl, would he have kept playing?
He might have. He might have. These guys, they want to win. And I heard an interview with Tom Brady not too long ago that he played as long as he did because he was told by somebody somewhere along the line, play till the wheels fall off. Because once it's over, you can't go back. So. And a lot of these guys, they long for the game years after they're done.
Well, speaking of play as long as you can and veteran players, I just want to bring up a couple of them. Today, I saw that the Atlanta Falcons are releasing Kirk Cousins on the first day of the season. I think it's March 11th. So everyone in the NFL knows Kirk Cousins will be available. He's a good quarterback, he's a starter. And there's so many teams that seem like they have quarterback woes and they're not going to solve them in the draft. For example, the Cleveland Browns every year have their quarterback issues. The New York Jets, the Cardinals, potentially the Vikings, the Raiders, they'll get their quarterback in the draft. And I know I'm leaving out a few. The Dolphins, I mean, it sounds like they're still high on Tua, but I don't know.
Yeah,
Anyhow,
I don't understand that.
also Aaron Rodgers apparently is going to be a free agent again. I don't know if some team's going to maybe draft a rookie and let him learn for a year behind Rodgers, or his you talk about the wheels falling off. He's getting there.
Well, yeah. Initially, I thought that Pittsburgh was interested in bringing him back, but I have to think that if you have a choice between Rodgers and Cousins, you're going to pick Cousins.
Yeah, if you can get him. And I don't understand the deal with Cousins. His deal was like $100 million going to Atlanta, and I don't understand what it means when they let him go, because I think they got to keep paying him, but I don't know.
Well, he had guaranteed money, so they got to pay him the guaranteed money, but whatever the rest of the contract is, they won't have to pay. The
Okay,
NFL
so.
is the only sports league that you sign a contract, and if they cut you, they don't have to pay you. I mean, basketball, hockey, baseball, you sign a contract for 5 years, they have to pay you for 5 years.
But if you've got guaranteed money, they have to pay it, right?
They have to pay the guaranteed money. So a lot of times you'll see somebody will sign, let's say Cousins, and I don't know what the stats are. I'm just using this as a for instance. So he signed for 3 years, let's say for 100 million, and 40 was guaranteed, or 60 was guaranteed. They have to pay him the guaranteed money. But whatever w was left on the contract not guaranteed, they don't have to pay that.
So he might then, as a player, decide to go pretty cheap somewhere where he sees a great opportunity for himself.
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. So a team that picks him up does not have to pay his current contract with Atlanta.
Right. They can do a new contract. So at
Exactly.
that point, he's being paid by two teams.
And I don't understand all the cap hit stuff, how that affects Atlanta, but it's going to be onerous for them for at least a year.
Well, with all the coaching carousel and changes, we're starting to see some house cleaning and some new energy being injected into teams. I'll give you the example. The Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill is gone. I believe two other of their players that were core players released. I think they're doing that to clear up the cap, but not sure about that. But, I've been paying attention to the Ravens with Jesse Minner coming in and the direction they want to go, and the Giants, John Harbaugh and the Browns. All these teams, new coaches, and looking at, okay, is this a complete rebuild, or are we filling holes? What are we doing? Hey, Bill. You want to go to Germany next year and watch the Lions?
Well, John, I guess I'd rather go to Detroit and watch the Lions.
One thing at a time.
Right. I've never been to Ford Field. I've seen it because I've been to Comerica Park and it's right next door. So
Right. Yeah, I
I've
walked
been
to
to.
it during the draft in Detroit 2 years ago. There were big draft events going on inside, but you needed a ticket. I just walked over there to sniff it out, see what was going on, but I didn't go in. I swore I stalked it a little bit, like I might try and get in, like years ago in Ann Arbor when my friend and I talked our way into a Ray Charles concert.
Well, I've been to Comerica. I've been to Little Caesars. I haven't been to Ford Field, but I'd like to.
Well, and I've never been to Germany, and I just think I think the NFL's been pretty amazing at expanding into international markets. At times I wondered why are they doing this? So I think they're very future oriented and see a global market for the NFL. And the crowds certainly seem enthused, whether they're in Mexico City or London or wherever they are. So I agree with you. I'd love to see a game in Ford Field, but I'm also asking myself, well, what has to happen for me to be there in Munich? But that's not the theme of this show. So, hey, Bill, the combine's coming up. The free agency's going to start in March. The draft's going to be in April. Teams are really getting into roster building. I'm curious, last week I kind of off the cuff asked, what do you think the five position needs are? But let me ask it again and differently. Between the draft, free agency, and trades, what do you think our top seven needs are? Because we got seven and potentially eight draft picks. We could pick some players up in free agency. So what are the seven needs we need to fill?
Well, John, you're asking me this question, and I know you thought about it for a while. I didn't know it was coming, so
Want me to go first?
I'll give a few. I think a center is very high, an edge, and we need a cornerback, We need a backup quarterback if Allen doesn't fit the bill. If Anzalone's leaving, we might need another linebacker. And we'll need a safety if Kirby Joseph is unable to play. So that's six. What do you got?
You want to add a seventh?
Yeah, I'd say another offensive lineman, interior.
So a guard center?
Well, we have I have center, so yeah, guard.
Okay, interior usually means guard center.
Yeah, but I had already said center, so.
Okay.
So
So,
I have one, two, three on offense and four on defense.
all right. Well, my options are similar. I don't remember exactly the order I said last week, except I know I said center first. I just so think they need to anchor that position. And everything I see that Tyler Lindenbaum from the Ravens, who's considered a top five center, is going to be a free agent. Ravens want to keep him, but probably won't match the amount of money he's looking for, which is possibly 22, 23, 24 million, which is very rich for a center. I don't think the Lions will spend that amount on a center for the reasons we talked about earlier. So then I got thinking, okay, they really need to anchor this. So can they trade? Could they trade their 50th pick and get a really good center? That'd be worth it in my mind. Then I thought about, okay, no team's going to draft a center in the first 16 picks. At 17, do they want the very best center there is coming out of college? Or can they get that guy at number 50? But you're still dealing with a rookie, and that to me is a bit concerning. Then there's still talk that they're thinking about moving Tate Ratledge to center. He's played a year, they know his strengths, he's got time. He could, if I recall, Frank Ragnow didn't come in as a center and got converted and ended up being all world. Could that be the case for Ratledge? So one of those scenarios is going to play out. That's my
Well,
long-winded comment on my first player.
I was reading this article today that the headline is Lions free agency plans might have just been dealt a big blow because the Ravens have offered Lions top option at center Tyler Linderbaum a market-setting contract.
Does it give the amount?
It doesn't, but it says that Chiefs center Creed Humphrey signed a $72 million deal with an average annual value of $18 million. So you can believe that Lindenbaum is going to hit $20 million a year and probably $80 million total.
Yeah.
It says the Lions could theoretically afford that if they were able to do some cap clearing ideas they're able to do. If they were to do some of the cap clearing ideas. But the reality is, they probably won't get the chance. So,
Yeah, so you got him, and also I hear John Harbaugh really wants him in New York, and Harbaugh and he have a relationship that could be a factor. So it could be a bidding war that the Lions aren't going to want to play, but that still leaves potential other centers available either in free agency or trades. And I've
Well,
heard a few talked about Carolina, Buffalo, Arizona, Miami.
this article mentions free agents Cade Mays or Connor McGovern. And honestly, I don't know where they're coming from. And trade options like Altie Froholt, I hope I'm saying that right, or Joe Tippmann. And I was listening to an interview with Brian Branch, and he seemed to think that Tate Ratledge could still move to center and be good. So.
Yep. And you mentioned a minute ago two names, potential centers. Cade rather is Carolina's center. I'm reading here, it says the Panthers don't have much available cash to spend in free agency. I just want to see what they're saying here real quick. So Cade Mays would be high on the priority list of a player they want to try and keep because it looks like he's a free agent. And I hear really good things about him. So back to my choices, by far a center. I'm not going to stop preaching that. They got to anchor that in. And then number two for me is an edge. I don't think Davenport's going to be back. Hassani or Muhammad might be, but he's more of a third down edge. I think they'll get an edge in the draft, but my third and close to number two is a safety, and here's why. And I know by draft time they may have a much better idea on Kirby Joseph, but I just think Joseph's questionable. Branch, I don't think will be ready at the start of the year. It may be November before he's the player he can be. And I just think, A, the need they may have for a strong starting safety or a backup is huge. And safeties tend to not go high in drafts. You can tend to get safeties, linebackers, running backs, all, and guards, interior line, all in the later rounds. But there's a couple stud safeties I'm learning about. And honestly, Bill, if they took one with their 17th pick, it wouldn't bother me at all.
Who are they?
One's out of Toledo. That's the program that put Quentin Mitchell with the Eagles 2 years ago. And that guy's like a Pro Bowler. And the other one is, I forget where he's out of.
Do you remember their names?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so center, edge, safety, then I think tackle. Even though Decker's coming back, we've seen how injured he's been the last couple years and how difficult it was for the Lions if he or Sewell went out. Sewell did go out a few times during the season. And, Dan Skipper was typically the guy to fill in, but he's now on the coaching staff. We don't know that Giovanni Manu is going to, make the grade. So I think they need to really shore up their depth at tackle. Next, I've got cornerback. Our hope is that Terrion Arnold comes back healthy and has a great year. Our hope is that Ennis Rakestraw is able to play this year. Our hope is they keep Amik Robertson, but all those are question marks. I think they need a safe cornerback, and I could see them drafting one in the fourth, fifth, or sixth rounds. My last two, a tight end. We'll have Laporta back. We should have Brock Wright back, but I think with the new offensive coordinator, a third tight end, and you can get one in the late rounds that could be a stud. In fact, I heard one expert talking about the tight end for Stanford, who's a great blocker. That's what he's known for. And I think in the Petsing offense, that could be huge to have three tight ends and they can all block. And then lastly would be a linebacker for the reasons you said. I feel like
Well,
every week we can get a little smarter on all of this as news comes out on everything.
Well, one of these draft experts, and I use that word lightly, thinks that Caleb Downs is the fifth best player in the draft. He's a safety out of Ohio State. But the first safety drafted last year was pretty low in the draft. I mean, went like in the 20s or something.
And Brian Branch went in the second round.
Right. So it's possible if Caleb Downs has not been chosen by 17, the Lions could go with him.
And I think they would if he was available, frankly.
Yeah, we talked last week about about draft strategy, and I mentioned Bill Walsh, the famous offensive genius that was coach for the 49ers when they were so good with Montana and Rice. And of course, they might have been so good because they had Montana and Rice. But his philosophy was you pick the best player available when it's your turn, or you trade down.
Right.
So you don't reach, in other words. And I'd be fine with him picking Downs. The guy you were thinking of from Toledo is Emmanuel McNeil Warren.
Yep, that's him.
There's another guy, Dylan Thieneman out of Oregon. It's highly thought of.
Yep, those are all three names. And in fact, on a lot of the draft boards, I see Downs and Warren both going in the first round, which, as you just stated, that'd be unusual for safeties.
Yeah, it seems like certain positions come and go in terms of importance. When we first started watching football, and maybe even 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't unusual for running backs to go in the top 10, sometimes number one. And now they're just not as highly valued for
Not
some
at
reason.
all.
I think it has something to do with the fact that running backs seem to be, more than any other position on offense, prone to injury.
That, and the other thing, Bill, I heard this recently and got me thinking. If you got a really good offensive line, seventh round running back draft picks can gain yards. I mean, they're
Right.
not Jahmyr Gibbs, they're not Barkley, but they're guys that I'm oftentimes amazed watching NFL games and seeing running backs where it's like, oh my God, did you see that run? And it's a no-name guy.
Yeah, and I think we need to remember that anybody on any NFL team is in the top 100% of athletes,
Right.
especially running backs. So just because you're drafted in the later rounds doesn't mean you're not uber talented.
That's right. And speaking of running backs, so I was looking at the top, there's different lists of the top 100 free agents. One of the top ones is Kenneth Walker from Seattle. He's a free agent. One that's getting a lot of attention is Malik Willis. One guy had him listed as his number one free agent. I think that's nuts talking there, nuts talk, but it's because a lot of teams want quarterback help. But some of the bigger names are Trey Henderson, the edge from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And the Lions might make a play for him. I think he's like 31 and not going to get the huge contract, but they may say, let's bring him in for a year opposite Hutch, and that would do some damage against offenses. The wide receiver picker from Cowboys, what's his name? Pickard?
Yeah.
Pritchard?
Pickens.
Pickens, thank you. I think he's a great talent, but maybe a head case, so no way the Lions, they're not going to be looking at a receiver anyhow.
I was watching this. I don't know if they show them here, but as we mentioned before, I live in Canada, and there's a the sports station is called TSN. And right now, the last couple of days, there hasn't been Olympics, there hasn't been hockey, there hasn't been much in the way of sports, and so they show these top 10 goals so far this year in hockey, the top 10. Well, they were showing a top 10 catches in the NFL last year, and Tesla was two of them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's a highlight reel at the beginning there.
Yeah, he I don't know how many he caught. Couldn't have been much more than 20, if that. But two of them made the top 10 catches for the season.
Were the both the one-handed ones?
Right.
Yeah, first game of against Green Bay, and then the next game I think was on the along the sideline.
Right.
Speaking of receivers, Bill, last year we were both having a little trouble thinking who was the receiver the Rams picked up the year they won the Super Bowl when Cooper Kupp was the MVP of the league, I believe,
No, Super Bowl.
of the Super Bowl. Okay. It was Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, that's right. He played the first half and he got hurt.
Right. But he definitely contributed to their run.
Absolutely.
All right, well, what we have coming up, folks, this next week, the combine, I believe, will have been over. That helps define players. And I think a big part of that, Bill, is the interviews that they have, because
Yeah.
these guys are trying to learn a lot by how these players present themselves and answer questions.
Yeah, it's somebody called it the skills competition. But then they all have to take the Wonderlic test.
That's drug test.
No, that's a answering questions, and then they get scored on it. It's basically, I don't know if it's an intelligent test or a knowledge test or what it is, but
It's called the Wonderlic. I've
yes,
never heard of it.
if I'm remembering right here, let me look it up real quick. Yeah, I think it's
Hey, well, you're looking that up. I was listening to some Detroit podcasters I like, and they were talking about one player that is 6'7", 2 or 360. He's a tackle for Alabama. That could be the Lions' first pick. But they were saying in regard to the combine, we don't need his score twice. So if he does great at the combine, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he can jump. We already know that. So thought that was clever.
so the Wonderlic test is something of an IQ test. They don't take that, but say that. But Pat McNally, a former punter for the Bengals, is the only player to have ever gotten a perfect score of 50.
So, yeah, that's the kind of thing. And I was listening, Bill. They have two different sets of interviews. One is they have runners. So, in Indianapolis, which is a great place to host something like the Combine, at the primary hotel, they've got all these rooms or a big room, and the teams are represented like with tables. And they got runners that go look to find players that you can meet with for like 4 or 5 minutes. But then they have preset meetings with players they really want to be able to spend some time
I
with.
have
And
never heard of that one
yeah,
with the
I hadn't
runner.
either.
That's like speed dating.
That's what I thought of. Yeah. I've been to
So,
different events that in business and stuff where you got all the different tables, except you didn't necessarily have runners going to find certain people, but because
if
they
you look
want
this
to.
Wonderlic test up, you can actually take it. The average quarterback score is 26.
Huh.
Most teams want at least a 21 for a quarterback. Average score for offensive tackles is 26.
Does it say, is it a football-based questions or doesn't it say?
It says, Vince Young, remember him? He got a six.
Okay.
That did not bode well.
No, he still got drafted high. I
Right.
just wonder, what are they looking for there? Because if it's kind of like a general IQ test, those have their limitations, and they different football knowledge is.
I don't know. The lowest average the score by position is running back. It's 16. Maybe
Interesting.
I'll take the test this week and I'll report back next week.
Well, and based on how you
Good.
do, maybe you should show up at the combine. Right.
Oh,
Well, I
boy.
think we've run its course today. We'll be back next week with, information from the combine and just more. By the way, I've mentioned in the past, Bill, the Detroit Lions app, and on there, the both Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell did interviews. And so those are there, or you can go to YouTube and find them if you want to hear the latest from those two guys. So, with that, it's been fun. We appreciate our listeners here on the Secondhand Lions podcast, and our website's SHL, the SHL podcast.com.
That's right. It's good to be with you again, John. Look forward to next week, and everybody have a good, safe week.
You too, Bill. Bye for now.